In Mary Gaitskell's collection of short stories, her first, one character describes an old boyfriend. She says, "He hurt me. He changed me completely. Now I can't have sex normally." It seems none of Gaitskell's characters can have sex normally. One woman is a masochist. Another takes so many drugs, she's lost interest in sex. A veterinarian meets a young hooker and offers her $500 so that they can have time to really act like people in a relationship. New York Times book critic Michiko Kakutani wrote, "In the hands of another writer, such unsavory anecdotes might seem merely perverse, but Ms. Gaitskell writes with such authority, such radar-perfect detail, that she's able to make even the most extreme situations seem real." I spoke with Mary Gaitskell about her new book, Bad Behavior, and asked her to read a passage from the story, A Romantic Weekend. It's about a woman who thinks she is a masochist. She spends the weekend with a man who is a sadist. Alone, they realize their fantasies don't match. She is offended by his sexual practices. She realizes she's been a fool.
How, she thought miserably, could she have mistaken this hostile moron for the dark, brooding hero who would crush her like an insect and then talk about life and art? "There's a lot of other things I'd like to do, too," he said with odd self-righteousness, "but I don't think you could handle it." "It's not a question of handling it." She said these last two words very sarcastically. "So far, everything you've said to me has been incredibly banal. You haven't presented anything in a way that's even remotely attractive." She sounded like a prim, prematurely adult child complaining to her teacher about someone putting a worm down her back. He felt like an idiot. How had he gotten stuck with this prissy, reedy-voiced thing with a huge forehead who poked and picked over everything that came out of his mouth?
Do you think of these stories as having some kind of connective theme or, you know, some kind of connective tissue that holds them together?
Yeah, it's a lack of emotional connection between people and an inability to do that. I mean, the characters, particularly the female characters, but but really the male characters also, really want to have some kind of big emotional thing with someone. They want to have this tremendous charge with another person, but they don't. They have a completely childish and unreal idea of how to do it, and which prevents them from having even a human connection, which is extremely painful.
None of your stories were previously published in magazines, which kind of surprised me, because usually when you see a first collection of short stories, you look in the kind of copyright page and you see all the magazines they were originally published in. And I was wondering if you ever tried to get the stories published before they were put together in a book.
I did, quite hard, actually. It was pathetic how hard I tried. Nobody liked them. People hated them. And I mean, I got some really snotty rejection slips. I have two of them, one from The Atlantic and one from, used to be Random House, when Gary Fiskachon had it. The one from Atlantic was about a paragraph long, and it went on and on about how loathsome and horrible my story was.
Was it hard to keep writing after getting rejection notices like that?
Yeah, it was. I thought I probably wasn't any good. Well, I don't know. I didn't really think that, but it was very difficult.
But you kept on at it.
Well, it's because I'm completely incompetent. I can't do anything else. I literally can't do anything else. I'm practically unemployable.
I read in one article about you that your parents sent you to a psychiatrist after you said that you wanted to be a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what made you think that you wanted to be a prostitute and why you told your parents that.
Well, it is kind of nutty. I think I thought I wanted to be because, well, two reasons. One, I was kind of, when I was growing up, I don't think there were very many, there weren't very many positive images of female sexuality anywhere, not on TV. All the women you saw who were sexual were stupid or evil. You never saw women who had a healthy, normal expression of their sexuality that was connected with anything good about them. And so when I would look at a magazine like Playboy, which my father had all over the house, and there would be these pictures of these women who were obviously prostitutes. Of course, at that age, I didn't really know what a prostitute was. I knew it had something to do with sex, but I didn't even really know what sex was. I didn't figure that out until kind of late in childhood. And all I knew was there were these women who were beautiful, who didn't have to do anything. You just sat there and men loved you. These fatherly, kindly old men would come there with flowers and chocolates and just gaze at them adoringly. You didn't see anything else going on. So it looked like a good thing as far as I was concerned. And also, I think, in a connection with also why it looked good to me and why I told my parents about it, I was very much in a dream world when I was a kid. I was not connected very to my own feelings about myself, or I didn't have a very real idea of how my parents would react to things either. I don't know if I'm putting it very well. I'm not used to talking in a succinct way. I just didn't make a very real connection to how other people were seeing things. Like, I didn't pick up, for example, when I saw Playboy, that these women were actually quite contemptible. I mean, if I'd been more perceptive, not really, but in the eyes of the people who were reading Playboy, in the eyes of the cartoonist, these women are supposed to be held in contempt. I didn't pick that up, and I didn't pick up how my parents were going to see this.
So were you punished for your confession to your parents?
Oh, yeah.
How?
That's what sending me to a psychiatrist was. But, you know, this is a very complicated situation that I was having at home, and it can't be talked about fully in any kind of interview, and I just wanted understood that my parents are not cruel or abusive people at all. I love my parents very much, and they loved me, and, you know, they didn't intend to hurt me, and they, you know, they didn't hurt me in my childhood completely. In many ways, they were lovely parents.
Several of the characters in your stories are prostitutes, and I was wondering how close you ever got to living out what was once your fantasy.
Well, being a stripper is kind of close to it, I guess.
Where'd you work as a stripper?
Toronto.
Uh-huh. What was it like? Did you have a persona when you were doing
Yes.
it?
Yes. It was, I think what I was doing was I didn't have a normal teenager life because I left school so early, and anyway, when I was in school, I couldn't be the normal teenager. I couldn't figure out even what it was. I would try to be the normal teenager. It didn't work. People thought I was ugly. People thought I just couldn't do anything right. So when I was a stripper, I was like being like Gidget, and it was really fun.
Seems like a strange choice.
Like I didn't get a chance to do it when I was there, because I looked incredibly young. I was 21 years old, but people thought I was 15 years old, and I could just, you know, forget who I was and be this moronic nymphette, which men love anyway. I mean, it was, you know, the funny thing is when people would meet me, they would say, "How could you do that? You're so shy. How could you get up and take your clothes off in front of people?" And the thing was, when I was doing that, I was actually, it was like putting on a mask because no one saw who I was. They saw this, you know, smiling, happy, Gidget, nymphette kind of girl who had nothing to do with who I was and who was like a complete shield.
I think I see what you mean, that playing out the role of Gidget while you were stripping was your only chance to play like the real popular, well-adjusted, happy teenager.
Yeah, that's what it was.
When you
it was fun to play that. It's too bad you can't be that, really. I don't even think people who are that are being that.
When you were playing out that role, were you standing aside from it and writing about it at the same time? Did you know then that you would be translating some of your experiences into words, that you wanted to write about things?
Yeah, I did. I wrote then, too. I mean, I haven't written about stripping, and I don't know if I ever will. I don't know if a story will ever come to me about that, but yeah, I wrote then.
We only have a couple of seconds left, so I'll ask you this real quickly. One of your characters says, "I have to tell you something about myself. I don't take admiration very well." I had a feeling that that was a kind of autobiographical line. Is it? And now that you're being admired for your writing, how are you reacting to it?
It makes me embarrassed, but I think I'm taking it okay. I mean, it's nice. It's just kind of, I just feel kind of embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed?
I don't know. I think it'll be okay, though. It's just kind of frightening, actually.
Mary Gaitskill's collection of short stories, Bad Behavior, is published by Poseidon Press. This is Fresh Air.